Hi, this is Buzzy Donahue, and I'm back at the film festival with Charlie Berment, and we're sitting here with Forrest Myers and Deborah Myers, and they have a film that I got to see this morning. And Forrest Myers is a sculptor that I knew nothing about. It's the movie is called Art and the Times of Forrest Meyer.
The Art and Times of Frosty Myers.
Thank you. See, I didn't have my glasses on. Frosty, I'm so happy you're here. So I love this movie. Frosty is a sculptor, and of course I'm fascinated by sculptors because they give us so much. And I don't think we actually acknowledge them enough, the beauty that they bring into this world. And this movie that I saw this morning not only explained to me who Frosty Myers was and his life and times, but also the history. I mean, you guys did an incredible job of telling about the history of artists during that period. I mean, I could go on. And the footage from some of the walk, when you went to Washington and did and protested and stuff like that. There was just so much going on in this movie.
Yes.
No, this is such a special time in history, American history, art history. This is the time that the art world moved from Paris to New York City. And that happened around 1950. And the main protagonist of that was Jackson Pollock with his drip paintings. He revolutionized painting and the way we see things and the way we feel art. And of course, there were other giants at the time too. Franz Kline, William de Kooning. It went on and on. It was truly a renaissance. And what helped that feed that renaissance was a place called Soho, which was an abandoned slum with 5,000 factory floors for rent. And so artists from all over the country, it wasn't international yet. That didn't happen until the 80s. But anyway, this time was so seminal. And along with all of these art movements, like conceptualism, minimalism, abstract expressionism was still going on. So you had all of these pop art had just hit the scene. So you had all of these isms going on, these great movements in art all at the same time. And the social part of that was the women's movement, the civil rights movement,
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King speaking in Washington. The
anti-war marches against the war in Vietnam.
And you have some great footage of that in the film.
Yeah, women's movement. I mean, this was a huge thing. The gay liberation movement. This was huge. All of these things were happening at the same time as all of this art stuff. So it was a moment in history that was just so wildly powerful in every direction that it was great to be alive in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, especially in New York City. I mean, it was, of course, New York City is the greatest city on earth. Now, this might be the greatest town on earth, and I might admit to that, even though my little town, doesn't rival this. But in any case, we do have a National Public Radio where I am. It's in the northeast corner of Pennsylvania, and it's a little town called Damascus, which isn't a real town. It has a post office and a bank.
And it's the only hydroelectric-powered public radio station in the United States, WJFF, our local sponsor. But
So Frosty, you were talking about Soho, and you were painting a picture of Soho as all these abandoned lofts and, this wonderful artistic space. But as we may know, Soho doesn't look like that anymore. My question is, where does an artist go now if they're in New York to channel that kind of creativity?
Well, I would suggest that they would move to Port Townsend rejuvenate this place, which is already vibrant. But, you know, artists have a way of going into slums because they need cheap space. So they go into these slums, and then they need a coffee house, and then they need a restaurant. And the next thing you know, there's a boutique, and then there's more artists coming because this is a place. And then the rents go up because now it's a viable place, and they can no longer afford it. So,
but the gentrification is a problem because after moving from Soho, or the East Village, into Soho, the artists moved over to Brooklyn, which we were also one of the first artists in the early, mid-'80s to move there. But it's continued to move further and further out to Maspeth and East New York and Bed-Stuy. And even those places are getting, their rents are higher. And most artists now have to live with three, four people or live in a one-bedroom with their wife and two kids and then rent a smaller painting studio.
So basically,
I don't know.
A bunch of artists should get together and, you know, pool some money and find a slum somewhere, and hopefully it's in a place that has creative energy.
I've told some younger people that I met, and this was even 10 years ago, they should move to Detroit.
Yeah.
Because Detroit was actually what
looking
Williamsburg
for
looked like. Right. You know, bombed out, burned out. The building we took was a meat freezer that was built when it was still an ice house, so that there was no windows. And as you see in the movie, it was, you know, shut down by the federal government because it was not clean enough to process dead baby veal. So you know how bad that was and disgusting. But we had that sweat equity that we were willing to put into it. And I think a lot of artists feel that and are willing to do it. But I guess lots have even moved north of the Bronx into Jersey.
I learned so much from this movie. I was so inspired by it. I mean, I think every kid who's taking an art class in high school should see this movie because it really, not only do you tell your husband's story, but you also tell a story about the movement. And I enjoyed that hour and 4 minutes or whatever it was. How did this happen? How did this come to pass, this movie?
Oh, well, I wanted to document us leaving Brooklyn and moving and building a bigger place in Pennsylvania. And because that creation in Williamsburg, our little meatpacking house, was our womb, our creative home for 30 years. So I wanted to document basically a short 20 minutes moving from one building to the other. And I had a family member who is a filmmaker. And so we started talking, and he said, oh, forget about doing a book. That's passé. Everything now is film and digital. This is the way you want to go. So as I started as the executive producer, which meant I was writing the checks. I bought the drone that they crashed, the second drone that they crashed, a brand new camera, Canon, that hadn't even come out yet. We kept getting back-ordered. And we were hitting deadlines with the building of the building, that when the contractors were there pouring the concrete, if we missed it, we couldn't recreate that or line up the roof or the flooring. So as they started going through Frosty's archival photographs, they were realizing that there was a bigger film here than just us leaving Brooklyn and starting our museum. The garden had been in works for 30 years when we, you know, starting when we bought the place, which was an old tree farm.
Some of the footage in the film is just fabulous. So when again can we see this movie, Charlie?
Okay, so it's already played once, and since the movie's played only twice, then you have 50% chance less of seeing it. Saturday, 6:30 at the Rosebud. So you stand a chance of seeing it. A lot of times I understand that going to the, what's that other one? The little one. Anyway, it's hard to get into the little one.
I just want to say one thing. I've had friends of mine, children, who were in their 20s and 30s that are musicians, poets, writers, and they find this movie very inspiring. Because even if you're not going to be a fine artist, but you're in the arts, you understand that you're not going to be, top of the world. There is peaks, valleys, failures, successes, and
You'll see some of the great sculpture from the golden age of American sculpture. I mean, this is a real renaissance that happened, and this film tries to document a little part of that. And God, I hope you enjoy it.
I think you guys did a great job, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience with us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks.